Welcome in to another NACE International podcast. My name is Ben Dubose, and I'm a staff writer with Codings Pro Magazine and Materials Performance Magazine. In today's show, on April 1st, we're going to be continuing our interview series by speaking with Corey Brown, Vice President of Operations with Codings manufacturer Tonemic. For those who are not aware, we've been reaching out to a number of industry leaders to try and gauge what this current COVID-19 pandemic means for the coatings industry and where it is that we go from here. Corey, good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, good afternoon, Ben. I'm doing quite well. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. And I'll start you with the obvious question. April 1st is very different than March 1st. How different is life at Tonemic these days? Paint me a picture of what it's like in April relative to where you were in early March, just on a day-to-day basis.
Sure. Yeah, you bet, Ben. And first off, thanks for inviting me and having me. You are correct. It is vastly different, obviously, than 1 month ago. In some ways, I would say it was very different, at least. And then in other ways, I think kind of business as usual, believe it or not. The ways that it's different for Tonemic, I mean, obviously we have done some extreme things like, you know, suspend our use of sick time policies for workers so that they can be comfortable taking time off when they're ill and trying to do their part to stem the spread of the virus. Because we've had some increased rates of absenteeism, we've had to adjust some of our working hours in factories and distribution centers, just trying to make sure that all of the critical functions are covered. We've done some things like combining staff from different departments to make sure that we've got, again, all of those critical functions covered. We've called in some folks that had moved on to other places in the company, but still have very useful skills to our needs in manufacturing and distribution, and we've asked them to fill in, and they have done so. Obviously, we're doing things like social distancing, which I don't think feels normal to anyone. You know, when you walk into a break room in the factory and see, you know, less than 10 people in the break room, and they're all keeping at least 6 feet between each other when they're taking those breaks. Those things are not normal for anyone, but they're happening. We've had to put in place some pretty extreme disinfecting procedures in our factories, distribution centers, also our office areas, to try to make sure that we're keeping things as clean and virus-free as we possibly can. We've even put on staff someone from the medical professional to help us try to catch folks who might become symptomatic, try to catch them early and encourage them to go home and seek their own medical professional assistance and how to proceed with that. Biggest thing probably that's different for most people is we've got a lot of folks working from home. And that, again, is not normal. I talk to a lot of people who say, they're getting a lot done from home, and they find it to be a very efficient place to work. And I talk to probably an equal amount of people who tell us that, no, this is not normal. I'm not in the right frame of mind when I'm home. It's very difficult to work from home. And so it's kind of a unique, I think, experience for each individual when it comes to working from home. So those are the ways that it's different for us, Ben. But I will say this, in some ways, it is still business as usual at Tonemic Company. We have really great teams of people at Tonemic, and we have seen everyone rise to the occasion. So we have a lot of folks making great decisions and continuing to support the business. And because of those things, we continue to keep all of our facilities open and operating. We have not seen a drop off in our order volume. And we have continued to keep our really high rates of on time, in full order shipment, and we continue to provide our products to the customers who need them. So in those ways, it is still business as usual at Tonemic Company, and we are very proud of the folks who have been able to help us make that happen.
I'm just trying to think physically, and you've been there nearly 25 years now, but when you say business as usual, and of course I'm picturing you guys out in a factory, what are the ways that you can still get things done while maintaining social distancing? Is it just a matter of you've got people and they're doing their assignments and they're spread 6 feet apart now? Or just give me an example, if you could, of something that you're still doing to kind of keep, as you said, business as usual, keeping running while still in the spirit of our new way of life.
Yeah, well, if you think about a factory setting, you know, factory floors are great big, and there's a lot of space where there's big pieces of equipment being operated, and you've got technicians and operators doing various tasks, using the equipment and handling the materials that they need to complete manufacturing schedules and distribution schedules. There's not a lot of tasks that require people to be within 6 feet of each other in a normal setting. So in those ways, it is, you know, it's fairly easy to keep things moving in the right direction. Other areas, though, it's more difficult. So if you think about a quality control laboratory, for instance, where people are bringing samples from various batches into a lab setting for them to be tested, make sure that things are on track from the manufacturing perspective. Those laboratories are a little bit closer, you know, potential for closer contact. So we're having to be diligent in making sure that we give people their due space to keep people from being in too close contact with one another. And then, as I mentioned earlier, too, in break rooms, we're doing things like alternating break times. No one's, you know, not everyone's taking their normal break times, so that we keep less than 10 people in a break room at a time, and people keep their distance when they're in there in the space that they're taking up. So we're able to adjust, make the adjustments that we need to. Like I said, we are working on reduced staff in some situations. We've had to change some hours in the factory to make sure that we've got critical functions covered, and keep things moving that way as well. But we are able to make those adjustments. Yep.
One thing that's a quote that stuck with me throughout the first month or so of this crisis, Mark Cuban, who, of course, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, but also just a general big business tycoon over the years, mentioned that companies will be remembered for how their brand responds to this pandemic and how it treats their workers. It sounds like, from what you're telling me, that that's something that Tinemic Leadership, and certainly you guys are a big company in protective coatings, corrosion control, but when you mention things like the new policies, suspending sick leave, letting people work from home if they need to, those types of things, it sounds like you guys sort of agree with that, that at least you're mindful that how you guys treat your employees during a very difficult time, it's something that could conceivably define your company and your brand for a long time. Is that something that you agree with? Because it certainly sounds like, through some of your measures, that's what you're working towards.
We definitely are, Ben. You know, we cannot take good care of our customers if we don't have good people working for our company. So always, every day at Tinemic Company, our goal is to treat our people as good as we can. And certainly in a time like this, that becomes even more important in keeping people safe. This pandemic has unfolded over a period of time. So we have taken measures that were appropriate in any given time. If I go through, you know, a list of some of the decisions we've made along the way, one of the first ones was to suspend sick time policies. Again, you couldn't ask people to stay away from work if they're not feeling well, if they thought that they were going to be penalized for missing too many days.
Yep.
So suspending those sick time policies and reminding people, look, you've got all of the freedom you need to stay home and take care of yourself, and let's try to do our best to stem the spread of this virus. Giving people that peace of mind was really, really important to us. And as it did its job then, and we started to see people, especially people in high-risk categories, and that was one of the second steps we took was, look, if you're an employee in a high-risk category If you've got some pre-existing condition that might put you in harm's way, or if you're in a certain age group that would put you in harm's way, we ask those people, please just go ahead and take the time now and put yourself in a safe situation. And as those things unfolded, then it created the need to make some of the other changes, and like moving people from one shift to another, or asking people who had moved on from certain positions to bring their skill set back into manufacturing or distribution where they could be utilized to cover gaps. And we have just seen, again, an amazing response from all of our workers to be willing to pitch in those places and make those things happen. We've been super proud of our people. So we've implemented the extra cleaning measures, putting a healthcare professional in our North Kansas City facility was a really good decision. Again, it brought peace of mind to those folks who have to be in the facilities to do their jobs. And we've been able to identify people who might become symptomatic really early and get them home where they belong and seeking medical attention. And so that was a really critical decision that we made along the way as well. In trying to keep those people safe.
For people that are able to work from home, be it at your company or anywhere else in the industry for that matter, are there some opportunities for them to, certainly they're not in their normal job environment, but to still get something productive done with regards to their business, the industry, their careers? I'm trying to picture certainly virtual meetings. You're seeing more and more things handled on Zoom these days. You've got training mm-hmm. programs that they can do. Are there some opportunities for people, even if they are in that group where for whatever reason they do feel compelled to work from home for a little bit, are there some things that they can still be doing to potentially, I guess, serve their company or advance their careers?
Yeah, it has been very interesting to watch that unfold too, Ben. We're a little bit behind in our video conferencing capabilities. And towards the end of 2019, we made the decision to invest some capital into some Zoom rooms. We evaluated a lot of different systems, and Zoom is the one that we decided to go with. That turned out to be a timely decision for us. Those systems are really doing a lot for us right now to keep us constantly communicating with people that are working from home. There's probably not a minute in a day that's not that a Zoom meeting is not occurring somewhere within the company. So that system has been critical. We have had to cancel some on-site meetings, some groups of people that would normally travel to Kansas City this time of year for annual meetings and training sessions. And for that, we've been able to use a system by Microsoft, the Microsoft Teams system. Again, it was something that was a quarter three project for our IT staff to sort of roll out Microsoft Teams. They've moved that up and they've implemented a certain number of departments immediately, and they've got several other departments coming along very, very quickly. Microsoft Teams is a good, secure environment that we can use to host video meetings, and we can also share corporate documents in those meetings in a secure way. So instead of those folks traveling to our headquarters in Kansas City for those meetings, we're able to host them online and still get all of the work done that we would have if folks were in town. So I've also seen, as recently as today, I've seen announcements coming from industry organizations like SSPC where they're putting together online platforms and offering them to their licensees so that they can continue delivering their content online through some of these platforms as well. So that's definitely one big opportunity, I think, in the economy, is for these companies who have figured out how to keep supporting our business through the use of their systems. And I think that's going really well.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And here at NACE International, we're expanding some of our courses online as well. We've got a new blended course that's been rolled out within the past month. So you're right, a lot of companies within the industry and industry organizations like NACE, like SSPC, they're evolving as well. So I think overall, the response out of the gate has been fairly positive to this, or at least as positive as it can be, given the circumstances. To continue our discussion, we're talking now with Corey Brown, Vice President of Operations at Tinemic. He's a certified coding inspector by NACE International. He's been at Tinemic for nearly 25 years. We're picking his brain about the fallout of COVID-19, what it means for his company, the coatings industry, certainly Tinemic, a big player in protective coatings, corrosion controls. There's a lot of insight that he can give us as far as not just his company, but the industry as a whole. Earlier in our discussion, you mentioned that orders to this point were still pretty solid in terms of what your clients that are using your coatings, what they're looking for in terms of their jobs. Obviously, there will be some slowdown, but then again, there's also an opportunity for pent-up demand a few months from now whenever we get past this current crisis, hopefully within a few months. We'll have to wait and see. But I guess we'll start there. What are some of the things that you're hearing from your customers, your clients, and what does this current crisis mean for those guys, the contractors that are using your products out in the field? Is there any sort of guess as to how long all of this might last?
Yeah, most of our customers are involved in critical infrastructure projects. So far, they're reporting to us that they've all been able to continue to work and that there's been no slowdown. We have heard a few of them that say there's been a little bit of a difficult time finding personal protective equipment for their crews because some of them do use items similar to what the healthcare industry uses. So there may be some struggle there in continuing their projects. But for the most part, they're working through things the same way we are. We've read some reports that some workers in critical infrastructure projects are having a difficult time getting across state lines. But the customers that I've spoken with directly to see how that was going say that they're receiving support from local project managers, and they've been able to provide them all the necessary documentation to keep their workers moving to the projects where they need, and it really hasn't been a big problem. So for the most part, in the near term, it seems like things are going smoothly, and you know, there's not an immediate slowdown. As far as the long term, you know, we're listening to agencies like the Center for Disease Control, Department of Homeland Security, and the CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency that operates under the Department of Homeland Security, has been a great source for us too. And it sounds like the virus might not like warmer temperatures. It might not like higher humidity.
Yeah.
So we're hopeful that in the next several months that this thing might slow down. I know a lot of business and community leaders who have struggled like us to keep up with the fast-paced contingency planning and decision-making that it takes to get through a crisis like this. I imagine we'd all love the chance to slow down for a beat and feel like we were actually ahead of it, even if it's just for a little while before the fall weather comes in and puts the virus back in play. Sure. We would hope, you know, maybe by then the scientists find a way to deal with it and help slow it down. We don't know for sure. Ultimately, Ben, I guess it feels like this is going to be, you know, a long-term effort, and we need to be planning for long-term effects. We know that some of the new laws that have been put into place recently going to be in effect at least through the end of 2020. So from our perspective, we've got three more quarters of business to definitely try to plan for and be ready for.
One thing that encourages me from a legislative standpoint, we've heard this week from both Democrats and Republicans, so potentially this is something that gets done in a bipartisan manner. You've heard some revived talks about a big infrastructure bill, which is, of course, something you mentioned with regards to your customers, your clients at Tinemic. I think certainly that could bolster them. But in the aftermath of this crisis, and you're going to see more people that need work, I think you're seeing politicians on both sides of the aisle, at least the last couple of days, that are pushing this as a means to potentially jumpstart the economy once this virus hopefully calms down within 2 or 3 months. Is that something that you see as a big deal for the coatings industry? Because at least at first glance, to me, it sounds like that if that infrastructure bill finally got done, that would be a pretty big end market for coating manufacturers and, of course, coatings contractors that apply them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have some friends in the energy sector, and, you know, they're telling me that they're starting to pump the brakes on just some, you know, internal capital investments. I have personal friends who also manage public works projects, and, you know, they're telling me due to the projected decreases in tax revenue, they're starting to really look at projects like street replacements as being very difficult to pull the trigger on because they don't know exactly what their revenue is going to be. So in the long term, it feels like we could be headed for a downturn. I know I certainly appreciate the fact that our national government is talking about the best way to respond to a potential downturn. I really hope they can keep things positive and not get themselves into places where they're fighting about who's going to get the credit if something goes right.
Right.
Who's going to be to blame if something goes wrong, and they can continue just to work together and try to come to a good compromise. I think a compromise is definitely what it's going to take to get something in place that could help. I know investment in infrastructure seems like a great idea, and it could be very good for the coatings industry. It seems like it'd be good for almost every segment of the United States economy. You know, I think the biggest question on everybody's mind is, what would the size of that investment be? Is it going to be big enough to stop the bleeding?
Mm-hmm.
Will it be enough just to keep us flat? Or by some miracle, do we think it could be enough to even get us back into the growth mode that we were experiencing right before all of this started? I'm convinced that right now, no one really knows the answer to that. Personally, my decision will be to remain vigilant and optimistic, but try to continue to make plans and be ready for anything.
We're talking with Corey Brown, Vice President of Operations at Tonemic, 25-year almost coatings veteran in this industry. Corey, any final thoughts as far as things we have not discussed in the last 20, 25 minutes as it pertains to COVID-19, the business impacts, where we go from here? Any closing thoughts you want to throw out to our listeners here at NACE International and Coatings Pro Magazine?
Oh, I don't know. For me, it's been such an interesting time to be a decision maker or a business leader. It feels at any single moment in time you might be simultaneously overreacting to a situation, underreacting to a situation. You just don't know for sure. So, you know, I think everyone's hearts and minds are in the right place. Everyone's doing the best that they can in difficult situations. We are certainly first and foremost trying to keep people safe, and then secondarily trying to keep customers' needs met and keep as much of the U.S. economy open and functioning and driving everyone's revenue forward as we possibly can. So it's a difficult balance for sure, but I've met a lot of very positive people who are very optimistic about making good decisions, and it's a very encouraging time, I think, to see people coming together.
Good to hear, and I would largely agree with that from what I've seen on my side of things. Corey, thank you so much for joining us, and look forward to talking with you again in the future.
You're certainly welcome, Ben, and again, thanks for having me, and call me anytime.
Good chat there with Corey Brown, Vice President of Operations at Tonemic, NACE International Certified Coatings Inspector, and a veteran of nearly 25 years in the coatings industry, of course, sharing his perspective on what things are like at his company, Tonemic, and also for the industry at large as it pertains to the ongoing effects of the COVID-19 pandemic and what it means for not just his business, but anyone's business in this industry that we all love. So with that, we will bring this Wednesday, April 1st podcast to a close. As always, thanks to you for listening. Thanks to Corey again for joining us. But stay tuned because we will certainly have more podcasts in the days and weeks ahead on the same subject We're reaching out to a lot of industry leaders. If you would like to be featured in a podcast, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Certainly, you can contact us. Our websites, coatingspromag.com, materialsperformance.com, nace.org. You can get a hold of us that way. You can also email me. I'm Ben Dubose. My email address is pretty easy to remember, ben.dubose@nace.org. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, be it feedback for this podcast, or if you would like to even be a guest on a future podcast, I'd love to pick your brain, because we all need to get through this together as best we can. And it's going to take ideas, not just from one company, but a wide spectrum. And so hopefully that's what we can do with this podcast, our websites, our news coverage, and the days and weeks ahead. We want to try and facilitate the best solution for the industry as we can. So please don't hesitate to reach out if you have any feedback or ideas on how we can better do that. Beyond the obvious of checking out our websites, our social media handles for Coatings Pro Magazine, Materials Performance Magazine, NACE International, I would also urge you to subscribe to the podcast if you have not already, wherever you are listening, iTunes, Google, Spotify, smaller providers, you should be able to find us. Just search for NACE International, and that will get you all of these podcasts, not just within the Coatings Pro series, but we've got some things going on as it pertains to MP. We've got some broader NACE International podcasts, a lot of different things to suit your interest. If you're, well, it could be as niche as protective coatings, it could be as broad as corrosion control, but again, they're all housed under the NACE International podcast page for the moment. So subscribe to NACE and you'll get these episodes right when they come out, even before we can post them to those aforementioned websites. So for today, Wednesday, April 1st, this is where I will sign off. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. Thank you so much for listening, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at NACE International, your home for podcast coverage of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and what it means for your industry. Have a good evening. We'll talk again soon.